theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Aloha, world. Aloha, Quinn.
Aloha.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for this conversation, even though it's not the most comforting conversation because it's a little bit of a dose of reality.
Yeah.
But I think it is something that should be discussed. And sometimes if things scare you, maybe you should run towards it a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Today we're talking about everyone's basically relationship with cell phones.
Yes.
And what that might look like moving forward into the future. But I think first we maybe need to kind of set the scene,
yeah.
You know, the context of like right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, how many of you who are listening, you know, can say that when you don't have your phone on you, it feels weird.
Right.
You feel like you're missing something.
Yeah.
That you feel like, okay, I got to go back to it after a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Or how many people have ever actually like not done that because it's just too uncomfortable. Like you got to bring your phone on the walk no matter what.
You have to, right? Yeah. Well, it reminds me of the whole reason this all came up was because we watched the Joe Coy comedy special
yeah.
on Netflix, which is very, very funny. I highly
Hilarious.
Recommend it. And he said, nowadays, it's actually really easy to punish your kid if they're doing something wrong. All you do is take away their phone, and it's like disabling them
yeah.
completely from being themselves. And it feels as though they're like taking away a part of them. And it was really, really funny. I highly recommend you check it out. It made us laugh very hard. But it's really true. Like back in the day, there's nothing that you could take away from someone besides like saying you're on timeout, and then they lock you like in the room, and then, you know, you're just hanging out with yourself.
Yeah.
Nowadays, like they don't care if they're locked in a room as long as they got internet, you know?
Yeah.
But if you don't have a cell phone, it's almost as if you feel like you're so disconnected.
Yeah.
It's almost painful for a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And I would even say for us, I mean, I don't remember the last, I don't know, full day that we never used our cell phone once.
Yeah.
I don't even know many people who have actually participated in like saying, okay, today's a no cell phone day. It would be difficult.
Yeah, I know. And especially these days when we're all locked in. So
yeah.
like, obviously you're inside the house. So
right.
what else are you going to do? You're not going to just not look at your phone. But I think you and I have actually had these moments, which I'm grateful for,
mm-hmm.
absolutely, when we've lived abroad.
Yeah.
And we don't have like cell signal.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
yeah.
buy a SIM card or anything like that. We actually
yeah.
only use our devices. They're in airplane mode all the time, and
yeah.
they can only be used when they're connected to Wi-Fi.
Right.
And unlike here in the United States, there are still places around the world where they don't have Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are bringing your phone along and it doesn't function without Wi-Fi
mm-hmm.
and you're in an area where you know there's not going to be any access to Wi-Fi for like maybe ever the whole time you're out.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually more of a liability to bring it with you because
mm-hmm.
someone could just steal it, right?
Yeah.
So don't bring it. And
yeah.
so for us, we actually have had really great moments. Some of the best moments actually when you just don't have your cell phone. You just
right.
you have to be immersed and you just immersed in the real world with
yeah.
each other. I mean, we've had no phone dinners. I've actually taken off weekends where I'm like, nope, no phones, you know? And so I think, you know, it's weird because phones are so multi-purpose now,
yeah.
right? It's not just
they do
for
everything.
It's not just for texting. It's not just for calling.
Yeah, it's not just being connected to other humans.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a source of information, immediate access to it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's a source of entertainment, I think, you
know, entertainment as well. Yeah.
Whether it's games or if it's just movies or shows or whatever, or you're watching live stream, you know,
yeah.
social media, there's so many different messaging apps or, you know, there's so much to do on your phone. It's like the greatest, you know, computer device
mm-hmm.
that's just right in your pocket. But what's interesting is right now it's almost become a part of us,
yeah.
right? It's almost like you're missing something
yeah.
if you don't have it.
Yeah. But why do you think that we feel like a need to have it all the time? Do you think it's more of the information resource aspect of it, or do you think it's the interconnection?
Well, I think, well, it depends
mm-hmm.
for sure, based
well,
on the situation.
For you personally, in general.
For me, for me, it's safety and
okay.
it's also like documenting,
yeah.
you know, like
okay.
if something happens and I want to, you know, like a really cool bird, I want to take a picture
yeah.
of it or a video or something like that. But I'm not you know, when I'm out and about in the world, I'm not one of those people who loves checking their phone all the time. I mean, I really have, and that's hard. That's something that I've had to really practice intentionally, which is like put the phone away and actually, you know, have control over it a little bit more than just, oh, well, someone texted me, so I got to text them back right away. Like, it's okay. You texted me, I'll get back to you when I'm looking at my phone.
Yeah.
I'm engaging in the real world right now. And I think that that line needs to be set for my own mental health.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like, I mean, there's so little that we control in this world anyways.
Yeah.
And it feels like, you know, you have a constant bombardment of notifications and you can turn that off. There are a lot of different ways and we can go through that if we want to do that. That's a good step.
I should do that. I need to turn off some notifications because it does get overwhelming and it's like reminding you like, hey, you haven't looked at me in a while. Take a gander. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's taking you out of the present moment and making you focus on something that a business wants you to look at, right? Or a person wants you to look at. And that's the name of the game. It's about attention.
Yeah. For me, the main reason that I'm absolutely connected to my phone is for information. And it's kind of getting a little bit bad. I mean, we've been in the States now for over a year, which is kind of funny to think about. But I still use it constantly for like Google Maps.
Yeah.
Or like if I have any question, like what's the score of the basketball game, the football game? I instantly know I can like check it. I don't even have to like open up my phone to do it. I just ask Siri and bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
I get an understanding and I'm always like, what's the weather like on an hourly basis? Because I'm trying to understand like, is the sun going to be too strong for a walk right now? Is it going to be humid? Like there's a million things I'm trying to get answered. And maybe the whole point of like disconnecting is to not have access to those answers right away. Like the beauty of being perhaps a little bit lost or the beauty of not knowing everything.
Yeah.
But is that the right solution? Or because I do feel like if you're trying to get ahead in life, like whether it's through business or just trying to accomplish some goals, knowledge is the key.
Right.
And the key to that knowledge for us and for the majority of our listeners is your smartphone. I mean, you can get pretty much any question answered if there is a proper answer, or you could get one step closer to that answer just by having this little device attached to you at all times, you know? So what's the balance with it? Because I do see a lot of beauty in those moments of like being lost and being extremely present. But I also see a lot of the flaws with like, if you kind of get too far out there, then you don't have the knowledge required for you to accomplish what you're trying to do.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think there's a couple of things that you just made me think, just hearing you talk about, you know, I think that, you know, the use of Google Maps is actually, that's one of the things that I'm saying, like safety too, or like when you have a meeting, you don't want to be late, you want to be able to get there right away, you know? So I think what that comes down to personally is like intention. Like what is your intention of opening your phone, right? Are you seeking distraction? Because there's a lot of ways that people can seek distraction when they're uncomfortable in a social setting or when they're just bored or they just are procrastinating or whatever it is. Like the phone's a perfect distraction. There's so many things you could do on that. And you could fall down a rabbit hole too. Like if you're not really seeking a specific piece of information, you're seeking distraction and you want some sort of like entertainment, you could end up on YouTube for hours and hours and hours, right? So that happens. But you know, after a while you're like, man, I just have been on this. How, where did the time go? What am I doing? You know? And I feel we've all been there, you know, and that's okay. If it happens every so often, you know, your brain needs a little bit of a break, but maybe.
Is it rejuvenating?
I don't know. Well, I think when you're saying, you know, your use of it is really about information, I think that's a really powerful statement and that's absolutely true. So like if you're going to the phone to access information or to connect with someone to set something up, you know, like that is, I think very different than going to it to seek distraction. I also think that there's a weird dynamic where I think people have an expectation that you better get back to me like right away because I know that you saw it on your phone, you know, kind of a thing.
There's
like,
an expectation that you're on your phone all the time.
All the time.
They're on their phone all the time.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I do, you know, like I'll never forget some of the times in Thailand and even in Singapore when we didn't have you know, Wi-Fi, and we had to like basically save our Google Maps to our phone, and you already had everything planned out. And then it, and then that kind of like allowed us to like have like this the most epic food walking tour whenever we wanted, you know, and then, but also like, okay, put it away. And like, let's just like, we kind of know the direction we might get lost, but that's okay. That's kind of, we want to, we're exploring right now, you know? So it all very, it all depends very much on the context, I think, in which your intention with the phone is doing. And is it actually helping you? Like, is it helping you or is it inhibiting you? That's, well, to me,
you,
the question.
How do you differentiate when it's inhibiting you? Because I think that's like a difficult thing when you're like, you know what? I just need to rejuvenate right now. And a lot of people go there for entertainment. I would say entertainment is like the number one form for people to kind of disconnect. I mean, we talked about reality TV or like sports and how that can be like a rejuvenating thing.
Right.
You can get that right in your phone. And how do you kind of say, okay, this is too much rejuvenation. I'm already at whatever, like 100% battery recharge. And now I'm just doing it to do it. So,
well, I think that sometimes, especially with a phone, things happen out of habit. Like seriously, like how many times does someone like touch their pocket if they don't have their phone? And that's just like unintentional. That's like subliminal habit stuff, like always knowing where your phone is. And that's like a first stage of like uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. I need to obviously have a better relationship with this technology. But I think that the way that it could inhibit you is really through procrastination and seeking distraction when really you should be doing something else. I think that's a really difficult thing to do, especially if you haven't really worked on that in your life. If you're a kid and you're in high school and you've never been challenged to really work on that willpower, like who cares? Like, I'm just going to do this because this is what I've been doing since I was a little kid. You know, like I think that technology can be used for really good, but there's always like another side to it too, if it's too much. Right. And we've talked about this where, when it comes to social media and whatnot, this extra pressure for younger people and for adults, let's be honest, it's for everyone of like when you're on there, you're comparing yourself to other people's lives, right? And that's not always great for someone's self-esteem. So unintentionally, when you're like on there thinking that this is going to be rejuvenating, this is going to be fun, this is going to be entertaining or whatever, something could happen on there and you just don't know. But that's kind of the way of the internet, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe you may have a few suggestions for those who are kind of like constantly like on it and maybe need to figure out how it can best be put to the side. One piece of advice I got that I'll never forget was we had a visiting professor from Mississippi State University, and he was saying, if you're trying to really go the 10-year track, then you're going to need to put all of your distractions away. And so what he does is he puts in his Google Calendar meetings, just like Monday through Friday. Like they're really not meetings, but he puts in there like meeting with myself or something like that. But I think he actually codes in a different way so that if someone looked, he could be like, oh yeah, sorry, I'm in a meeting at that time.
Yeah.
Like, and then that during that time, he's completely off of his phone. He's not looking at email at all. He does stay connected to the internet because if he has to like go and find certain articles, that counts as that. Or if he's just reading articles, but it's fully dedicated time to doing research and writing research. And he's specifically stating it not only to himself that this is on his to-do list, but it's also explicitly stated to anyone else, like, sorry, I have a meeting at this time. He doesn't say what he's doing because people don't like to hear, oh, sorry, I'm going to be doing research at that time. Like, oh, well, you're not going to prioritize me. But if they hear that you have another meeting, it actually sounds like, oh, okay, I understand. Then what's a good time for you?
Right.
You know,
that's
so
good.
That was a good piece of advice that I probably should embrace a little bit more, in all honesty. Like, okay, during this time and this time, I'm only going to be doing this on the computer or whatever. And then when that time's over, then I'll go back into email and go back into my phone if I want to. But phone is charging to the side during this period of time.
Right. I love that. I think that's a great idea. Like that, when we go on our walks, you know, I don't bring my phone anymore. You know, that's been a really nice thing. I don't know if the walk is gonna be 10 minutes. Sometimes it's an hour, you know, and that's just time where I'm not in it, you know. And I just think that it's good to have a healthy balance, because you have to remember these devices and these apps, they are designed to keep your attention. They are designed to you know, addict you. There's an addictive quality to a lot of the things that we use on our phone. And so just to be aware of that, I think is like probably the first step. And I think that's a really good suggestion, is just like really blocking out time where it's like put the phone away, mm-hmm. no meetings, yeah. no one's going to distract you. You need to focus on whatever it is that you need to focus on. And I think that's a really great strategy. There are other things like, I have my phone set automatically in, you know, basically like no distraction mode, mm-hmm. starting at a certain time of the night, yeah. you know, so that even if people, I mean, you can have emergency contacts. So yeah. like if something's happening, like they'll come through, but all other notifications just yeah. basically are muted. And well, so
that's important also, because we're on the East Coast and, yeah. and the rest of the United States is west of us.
Yeah.
And so therefore their ending point is much later than what our ending point of the day is, but we wake up way earlier than them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's nice that we can kind of block out our time.
Yeah.
And then wake up, and then we can look at it when we choose to versus when it's actually coming in.
Exactly. Because like the worst thing that could happen, and this has happened to me before, is that I get a notification right before I'm about to go to bed. And all of a sudden, maybe that notification isn't that great. And mm-hmm. I'm now no longer able to sleep. Like yeah, I was really ready for bed. But it's really, you know, like maybe it's an email, or maybe it's a text from someone, or maybe it's like something that you see on, I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when it's time for bed, like really putting everything away is super important.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that one piece of advice that I'd also like to contribute to this conversation is, I think this is almost relationship idea. I don't want to say advice. I'm yeah. not trying to give relationship advice, but I do think that it's very beneficial to, I mean, my parents would used to say, like, put your weapons down. And when you're with your spouse, you should make sure that there's time when no one has their phone and you're having like one-on-one conversation yeah. or family time if you got a family.
Yeah.
And luckily for us, like this podcast time, I feel like is very disconnected from technology.
Yeah.
So there's a guarantee that at least 30 minutes every single day, me and you are having fully disconnected, deep conversations. You
exactly.
know? And I think that's really beneficial.
I love that. I'm 100% with you. And this, like you said, could apply to like any relationship that you really have. But mm-hmm. when you want to have a really deep, great relationship with someone and you're there with them present,
yeah.
there's nothing more annoying than not looking at them.
Right.
You know, like you're always looking down at your phone and you're just listening to someone. I mean, I guess, you know, and it'll be really interesting to see, you know, social cues of individuals once mm-hmm. we come out and everything's opening up a little bit more again. But I really do hope that people take the time to just put it away and look and have real conversation with a real person, you yeah. know, for the first time in a long time.
It is funny that you're bringing that up though, because a lot of the time our personal conversations with our family is via FaceTime or Messenger, showing our faces.
Yeah.
And we're basically looking straight at our phones yeah. when we're doing that. So it's almost like a bridge to that if there is distance between the right. two individuals, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And I actually, you know, over time kind of actually prefer regular phone calls sometimes.
Yeah, I understand just, that too.
You know, if I can't really actually look at you, I hate looking at myself. Like that's my number one thing about, you know, why? FaceTimes and Zooms and stuff like that. Well, it's distracting. I mean, you think that just subliminal, I actually know, like research shows you really do. If you're looking at like a whole, you know, grid of people, you are looking at yourself constantly just to make sure, you know, that you're doing okay. But
I could see how looking at you could be distracting.
You're so sweet. But I just think that there's something about just the phone call where it puts you in a more present situation with someone.
Yeah.
Than looking at them and, you know,
it depends.
It depends. But I mean, when you're actually in person with someone,
that's the best, ideally.
It's just, to me, it's just manners. I don't mm-hmm. know. That's, and it's weird because we're all kind of obviously, adapting to technology and new social cues and stuff like that as it comes out.
Yeah.
So I think my question for you too is like, where do you see this going? Obviously the phone was a big first move for mm-hmm. us to have access to information and connection and all that stuff. That yeah. was a game changer, the iPhone, right? And it right. still is continuing to evolve. But what's next?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I have been thinking about this a lot. And the next phase, I think we're kind of in this in-between area of experiencing it currently, but we're not experiencing it to its fullest potential. And the next phase is ears. So I think that people will often have something in their ear like almost all day, just where they can hear everything like normal outside perfectly. But then if they do have any question, they just say, you know, hey Siri, I don't want to say it too loud yeah. or else all our devices are going to go nuts, but you just say the magical words and then you ask your question, and then you get it in your ear. And I think that that technology is going to advance substantially, where we're going to be able to have conversations in different languages. And it will, I think, will take a little bit of time, but I do think, like, you know, if you're in a environment where you need to speak another language, or you're asking for some information that's really important, and someone's willing to take a little bit of time to help you out, it will be much, much easier to just do it via your, I mean, we got a neighbor. She's very, very sweet, but her main language is Polish, and she barely speaks English, and we're on our Google Translate going back and forth passing the phone, and I think that's going to be fully controlled without having to see anything. And they don't hear what you hear, but you're going to have to say what you hear in your ear to speak back to them.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's hearing what they're saying, and it's going to go into your ear in English.
To me, is really exciting. I think that's like the next step before putting a chip in your brain and you know the language already.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's very far from here, but I do think that phase is actually going on like right now, and the earbuds phase.
Yeah.
And I think, in all honesty, I think the next crossover that we're going to start seeing more of is the bone vibration type of headphones. So we tried this with, it was like Google Glass. They had demos at Oklahoma State in their library system, and they applied for a grant to try it out and see how it could help out their library organizations and stuff like that. And we put it on. It's amazing because there's nothing in your ear. It's literally like behind your ears, and it vibrates, and it basically allows you to hear things without your eardrums like getting the direct noise of it. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing because it, like, the first time you wear them, you're like, dude, can you hear this? And they're like, no, I don't hear anything. And you hear like music in your head, and it's really cool. Like, I think it's awesome stuff. And they now have quite a few headphones that have that technology. There's more sunglasses that have it. Bose did a big push, and they're actually like really, really reasonable.
Yeah.
I think they're like $250, maybe even $200 for the vibrating ones. And they don't have anything visual on the glasses besides just being regular, you know, shades.
Yeah.
But you can ask it to do things, and we tried them out in South by Southwest, and for it to, like, they gave us a demo where they showed all the different apps you can use with it. And the one I tried was the golfing app, and it basically showed that, like, if you're on a golf course, you can put in different settings, and one will, like, you know, right when you get to the hole, it can tell you how far your distance is. And then it also had this really cool feature where it knew what direction your face was looking at. And so if you put in the right setting, when you're looking at the flag, it will beep. And then when you're not looking at it, it will, like, beep slower. So, like, beep, 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 beep. So it would tell you exactly the direction of the flag if you weren't able to see it.
That's so
and
cool.
No one even thinks that you're wearing anything or can hear anything because they just look like normal glasses. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that come into play, where it would not surprise me one bit if we're going to transition from saying we're always on our phone to we're always wearing those glasses or those earbuds. And then, of course, I think the final phase is the eyeglasses or the Apple glasses, the one where you do get a visual when you want it or all the time. And it also has the audio component. So I don't know. It sounds weird, but it could be like a little Terminator, so you can, like, scan faces or scan barcodes and get prices when you're, like, shopping in the grocery store. There's a million different things it could be.
Yeah, so you're saying more wearable. It's going towards more, like, wearables.
Yeah.
So that you're not having to, you know, grab a phone and use it. Like, it's already on you, and it's utilitarian focus, it sounds, more so than anything else, which I think is a kind of a cool thing, because to me, that's really how I try to use my phone more than anything else, is just, like, the utility of it.
Yeah.
And so, really, to me, my favorite app, one of my favorite apps for sure is that Google Translate app, where, like, seriously, with our neighbor, our amazing Polish neighbor, I speak to it and it talks back to her in Polish, and then she talks into it and it talks back to me in English. And it's really amazing. And so for that function, I'm really excited for that.
Yeah.
We already have, obviously, like, the watch, the Apple watches.
Yeah.
There's different, you know, Android watches and whatnot. And
but those are different, though.
They are. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's really more about tracking your health, and then also being able to
receive notifications.
Yeah, constantly, you know, stay up to date on what's going on with your phone.
Yeah, but it's not as much from what my understanding, because we don't have Apple Watches, but from my understanding, it's not as much of I'm using my phone to go and get information. It's more I'm using my phone, my watch to receive information, whether it's like news, email, messages. I mean, I don't envision me ever being like, hey, Siri, and I'm speaking to my watch, give me direction to this place. And I'm like constantly looking at my watch to know where to go, unless it's like walking maybe.
Well, you can always connect your watch to headphones also. And so I do think like you can obviously, when you're running, you can do music, you could do maps where they're saying turn left up ahead and you're looking down, you're like, oh wait, okay, that's smaller than normal, but I'll just listen to it. Or podcasts or whatever it is. It would actually
be very complimentary to the headphones for sure.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So it will be an interesting future. I'm excited about it, but I'm also kind of aware that I do feel like the smartphone is a stepping stone to the next phase, which is going to be, headphones, and probably you're right, like connecting with your headphones to your watch if you need the screen, and then just put the watch stuff on your glasses. And now all of a sudden, like, that's like almost like you're, I don't want to say you're a robot, but like you have a computer connected to you at all times.
At all times. I know it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out in terms of like how school, like, you know, I was a professor. We both were at the university, Oklahoma State University. And I mean, if something's in someone's ear and they're not listening to me and they're totally listening to something else, like, how am I going to, you know, enforce them to take that out? And I don't even know.
Yeah.
So that part will be interesting. But I do think, you know, what I am excited about as well is, you know, what really kind of bothers me is when we've been out at like music festivals or, you know, out at an event and you even see photos, you know, of mass amounts of people having their phones up and they're not in it. They're not present. They're recording it. And it's like everyone's recording the same freaking thing. Like, what is going on here? No one's actually watching it. Everyone's watching it from their phone.
It's a moment in time.
And you miss the moment because you just want to be able to have it.
That moment forever. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think with the wearables, like from glasses or whatever, I mean, if that kind of helps make it so that people aren't, people are able to actually enjoy the moment instead of, you know, having to have their phones out and then messaging and stuff like that. I don't know, because I just think about you know, Snapchat, they had these goggles, they tried these glasses, and they were, you know, trendy and whatnot. And the thing that they really were trying to do, which I thought was great, was that these glasses would basically capture the moment so that you didn't have to, it's almost like you disrupt the moment by
when you put
the phone up.
Yeah. Or camera.
Well, and same with like people, people act differently when all of a sudden they're being recorded by a phone, you know, you do. I do. If I knew that someone was taking a picture or recording me while I was doing something, my behavior would change instantly.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, I thought that was a really cool thing that they were trying out. It obviously didn't work too much, but I wouldn't be surprised if more social media companies do kind of go towards that of like, how do you actually allow people to feel like they're in the moment and sharing that moment with other people who aren't there?
Yeah, well, I think as soon as the hardware comes out for it, I think that the social media platforms will create new code to enable them to connect to those devices that allow you to capture moments in time that you normally would be required to pull out your phone to capture.
Right.
And it's exciting. I need to be a little bit more excited about it. I mean, to me, it's inevitable that eventually I will definitely have some form of Apple glasses or Android glasses or Samsung glasses.
Or Bose.
Or who knows? Yeah, like I actually really like the Bose ones.
Yeah.
And I think that they're awesome. I remember when we were getting the demo of them, like this was like 2 years ago, And my first question was like, can I just get them in clear? I don't really even want them to have shades on, because like if I'm going to do them, I'm going to want them for a while, like I'm on the computer doing other things. And that way I can wear them indoor and outdoor, and I'm always wearing them. It's even like less of a distraction when they're clear. Like people are like, oh, he's just wearing his glasses, you know? So I do think that's going to be a major thing. Final question. What is your guess for when you think like Apple glasses are going to come out?
Ooh, I think Apple glasses is probably going to be here sooner than we think.
What do you think?
5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I was actually thinking more towards like 2023. So.
Oh, so yeah, we're kind of, well, you're much sooner. Yeah. But I think that you're probably right. I think that they'll come out with a demo. They'll come out with a prototype.
Right.
But I don't know. I think that it's good to be first to market. They won't be the first ones to market, but I think that they'll put something out that will obviously be put out to get everyone excited, but with the intention that this still has a long way to go.
Yeah.
But here's where the standard is now. It's not the Snapchat glasses. No, it's not the Bose glasses. Cool. It's not Google glasses. This is Apple standard.
Yep.
The beginning.
Right.
Now let's see where this goes.
Well, cheers, everyone. Here's to already being addicted to our phones. And here's to us probably all going to have some form of smart glasses, and which include like audio as well.
Yeah, I agree. Well, here's also to having a digital detox. I hope also it's like, it's good to get excited, but it's also good to have a good relationship with these 100%. Things before they completely take over our lives. So looking forward to talking to you all tomorrow. Can't wait. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.